Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we will be studying Yeshayahu Perek Lamed Zayin, 37. This Perek picks up exactly where Perek Lamed Vav ended off, after Chizkiyahu's advisors witnessed Rav Shakeh's speech. The story in our Perek is the identical story to that which is in Malachim Bet, Perek Yud Tet. Chizkiyahu's advisors, Eliakim, Shevna, and Yoach, approach the palace with their torn garments and inform Chizkiyahu of the message of Rav Shakeh on behalf of the king of Ashur. In Pasuk Aleph, Chizkiyahu responds, Vayikra et begadav, vayitkas basak. He tears his clothing, puts on sackcloth, and is in a state of mourning. Vayavo Beit Hashem, he enters the Beis HaMikdash. Although this perek starts off grim, it will end with Hashem's salvation. In the meantime, Chizkiyahu sends his officers in Pasuk Bet straight to Yeshayahu Hanavi. They relieve a terrible situation and proclaim it as a Yom Tzara, a day of misfortune. In Pasuk Gimel, the metaphor of pregnancy is used to describe the crisis they are facing. They are at the end of a pregnancy, on the birth stool, yet there is no strength to follow through and give birth. Ki ba'u banim ad mashper v'koach ein l'leida. The pregnancy represents all these steps Chizkiyahu and the nation have taken that we've seen where either in Malachim Bet or in Divrei Hayamim Bet or in Sefer Yeshayahu, uprooting Avodah Zarah, bringing the Korban Pesach, reinstating the Avodah, the service in the Beis HaMikdash. Yet, all this they were doing to rid themselves of Ashur, but they have run out of steam. Mother and child are not going to survive and are going to succumb to the pain. In Pasuk Dalid, he hopes Hashem will act on behalf of the blasphemy that Rav Shakeh has said against him. Ula yishma Hashem Elokecha et divrei Rav Shakeh, asher shlacho melech Ashur Adonav, lecharef Elokim Chai. He has come to say words of blasphemy against the living God. And he asks, v'nasata tfila ba'ad hasheirit hanimtza'a, to say a prayer on behalf of the remnants that are left, a.k.a. the people of Yehuda. Two messages come from Hashem through Yeshayahu in Pasuk Vav. The first message from Yeshayahu is, Al tira, do not fear. Hineni notein bo ruach v'shamash shmua v'shav el arzo. Hashem will place a ruach in Sancheirev's ear, v'shamash shmua. He will hear a rumor, and he will return back to his country and die there before causing harm here. We saw this event alluded to in earlier Nevuot in Sefer Yeshayahu. The Malbim understands this to be a series of miracles that will transpire. First, Sancheirev is going to hear a rumor of an attack in Ashur by Tirhaka, the king of Cush, and Hashem causes him to believe it enough to return back to his country. However, in Pasuk Yod, the king sends messengers letting Chizkiyahu know that he will be back and he is not done with him, and Yerushalayim will indeed fall in the hands of Ashur. The repetition of the word shamav, hearing, is significant here, as Rav Shakeh was trying to make his message heard. When Rav Shakeh hears that Sancheirev left Lachish and went back home, he comes and gives a speech in Pasuk Yud addressed to Chizkiyahu. We know there was a significant reaction when it was heard, but it becomes less significant when Hashem makes Sancheirev hear about conflict in his land, which in effect relaxes the present threat in Yehuda. Part of the intimidating message to the people of Yehuda is that haven't they heard what Ashur did to other kingdoms? The focus of this speech again is on the reliance on Hashem's assurance that is surely faulty. Hashem has relayed that Ashur will not attack Yerushalayim, but surely Chizkiyahu has heard about what happened to all of Ashur's previous opponents, their kings and their gods. Why do you think you will be any different? That's the message that Ashur was trying to get across. Chizkiyahu's righteous response is tfila in Psukim Tetvav and Tetzayin. He turns to Hashem and indicates Hashem is the only king in the land. Atahu ha'elokim levadcha l'chol mamlachot ha'aretz, as opposed to what the leadership of Ashur was implying. Chizkiyahu urges Hashem to listen in Pasuk Yedzayin and pay attention to the blasphemous words of Sancheirev. He asks Hashem and Pasuk Chaf to save them so all the nations will know with whom the true power lies. Hoshi'enu miado v'yedu kol mamlachot ha'aretz ki atah Hashem levadecha. Ralbag notes that this appeal that Chizkiyahu makes admits that the people on their own merits do not deserve divine intervention, but it is a worthwhile and necessary endeavor in order to make a Kiddush Hashem. Yeshayahu visits Chizkiyahu in Pasuk Chaf Aleph and relays to him Hashem's words. This speech continues through Pasuk Lamed Dalet and is very poetic, with repetitive phrases in beautiful language. He refers to Yerushalayim in Pasuk Chafbet as Bitulat Bat Zion, the virgin that has never been touched or conquered by a foreign power. Bazalacha la'agalacha Bitulat Bat Zion. Yerushalayim is mocking you, Sancheirev, as you foolishly boast about achievements before they are accomplished. In Psukim Chaf Dalet and Chaf Hey, the Navi is quoting Sancheirev's words and ideas. Birov Rikhvi Ani Aliti. You are boasting about ascending high on your chariots. Ani Aliti Mirom Harim, Yarkete Levanon. I have ascended to the heights of mountains and to the ends of the Levanon forest. We've understood mentions of the Levanon before to be references for the Beis HaMikdash on Har HaMoriah, the Beis HaMikdash made of cedar wood from the Levanon, and also referring to the word Lavan, the Beis HaMikdash as a place where our sins can become whitened. The heights mentioned here can also be referring to Eretz Yisrael in its totality, which we know is often referred to as Gavoa Mikol Ha'aratzot, higher, both figuratively and literally on mountains, above other lands. In Pasuk Chafhei, he boasts of finishing off the water of a city he has laid siege to. Ani karti v'shatiti mayim. It's possible the king is maybe referring here to Chizkiyahu's efforts to divert the springs in anticipation of Sancheirev's arrival, which Sancheirev is presumably mocking, per Yeshayahu. Hashem offers a response starting in Pasuk Chafav. Why are you glorifying your victories? I am the one who destined this. Lemerachok, from a long time ago. Clearly Hashem is the one pulling the strings and controlling things. And he's already informed Nevi'im like Yeshayahu about what Ashur is going to accomplish through exile, even before they did it. Utihi lehashot galim nitzim arim bitzurot, to make the fortified cities and blossoming hills desolate. You are basically carrying out things that I decreed. There can also be a secondary meaning in these words, utihi lehashot. You, Ashur, will become yourselves desolate in the end. In Pasuk Chav Zayin, Hashem says that he made all of Ashur's enemies weak like grass, so they were easily able to be trampled by Ashur. So again, Hashem is letting it be known that Ashur's arrogance for their victories is inappropriate, given that the accomplishments were not really his own. In Pasuk Chav Tet, Hashem says that as a result of this arrogance, Ya'an hitragezcha, Alai, I will place a ring in your nose, v'samti chachi be'apecha, similar to an animal being dragged and harnessed. V'hashivoticha baderach asher bataba. Hashem says, I will return you on the path back to where you came from. After addressing the army, Hashem's words are directed at Chizkiyahu and Pasuk Lamed. Sancheirev's defeat will be a sign for you about what will come after. V'zelecha ha'ot. This shall be a sign for you. On one level, the first step in the downfall of Sancheirev will indicate to the people that the second defeat, when Sancheirev later returns, is also going to come true. These psukim are also directed at the Jewish nation as a response to the devastation that was incurred through Ashur's attempt at a siege around Yerushalayim, which destroyed a lot of vegetation. V'zelecha ha'ot, this shall be a sign for you. In the first year, you will have enough to eat from the plants that will grow on their own, referred to as sviach. In the second year, things will grow from the chopped down tree stumps, referred to as shachis. And in the third year, you will be able to plant and harvest what grew in year two, what was planted in year two. The timing when Sancheirev attacked was Pesach time, the time of planting, which we know from the miracle that's described as one of the events that happened on the date of the Seder night in Vayihi b'chatzi halayla. Because of this, they couldn't plant, so Hashem gave them crops that grew on their own. In Pasuk Lamed Aleph, he is told that Yehuda will metaphorically continue to take root in the land, shoresh lamata, and produce fruits, ve'asa pri lamala. This alludes possibly also to their study of Torah, which will allow them to flourish and plant roots, have stability, and produce. Starting in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, we have a description of the great miracle Hashem is about to perform. Sancheirev will not be allowed to enter the city of Yerushalayim, and not a single shot will be fired. Lo yavo el ha'ir hazot velo yoresh sham chitz. Pasuk lamedalid, baderech asher ba bayashuv. Even though he will return on the same path towards us more than once, el ha'ir hazot lo yavo, he will still not be able to overtake Yerushalayim. Hashem pledges to protect the city in Pasuk Lamed Hey, Lema'ani ulema'an David Avdi, for my sake and for the sake of David, as Hashem had promised David that if his sons follow the mitzvot, the kingship will stay with them. And during the time of Chizkiyahu, they were following this path. And we have the amazing miracle in Pasuk Lamed Vav that has been alluded to several times previously. Vayetze malach Hashem, vayakeh b'machane Ashur, mea ushmonim v'chamisha elef. We know that the angel of Hashem came out and killed 185,000 soldiers. Vayashkimu baboker vihine kulam pgarim metim. This happened and was discovered in the morning. Sancheirev himself was not killed, as we see in Pasuk Lamed Zayin, so that he could suffer the humiliation both outside Yerushalayim with his dead army and when he returns to his own land. When Sancheirev returns back to the city of Nineveh and goes straight to the temple, he is killed by his own sons. The Midrash says they killed him because he was about to offer them as human sacrifices, the practice of Molech we've referred to before. What we do know for sure is that he did not die as a hero back in his land, and his death had also been forewarned to us in earlier Prakim in Yeshayahu. I mentioned this in an earlier parak, and I'm briefly referring to it once again in this context, that in Gemara Sanhedrin 94a, we're told about this war having had the potential to be the war of Gog and Magog that would herald in the days of Mashiach, with Chizkiyahu as Mashiach. However, there was one hitch. Midat Hadin says to Hashem, there was something missing from this big victory, something missing from Perek Lamed Zayin. There's no response from Chizkiyahu, no Shira, not in our Perek, and we'll see there will be none in the following Perek. A little spoiler alert. Midat Hadin continues, if you did not make David HaMelech Mashiach after he wrote Sefer Tehillim full of songs of praise to you, you can't appoint Chizkiyahu, who did not praise you despite all these miracles. And so, we do not end off this perek with Chizkiyahu crowned as Melech HaMashiach, although we do end off this perek with the redemption of Yerushalayim as Hashem had promised to Chizkiyahu from the threats of Melech Ashur. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat, Alexander Sender.